in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 694. My name, as it is today, is Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-host with her blue headphones, Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Practical politics. Yours
it is Wednesday, November 9th, 2022. We have a jam-packed show today. We're having different stages in their production of Water by the Spoonful. Then we'll have Austin Shakespeare and their show, Sense and Sensibilities. And then finally, we'll be meeting with the folks from St. Edward's Mary Moody Northern Theater and These Shining Lies. And of course, we'll have brief and lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Nassau, Bahamas. Don't go away.
But hey, who cares? 90% of this county is bumpkins.
90% of this county is bumpkins.
90% of this county is bumpkins.
You're a bumpkin.
A bumpkin. I've been told that.
Yep. So we have a huge show today.
We have a smorgasbord.
We have 7,000 people, and we're going to hardly get to talk about all the stuff that I want to talk about.
Well, get going. Let's get out there what you can.
But I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy.
Well, you were missed
here
last week.
Yes, I had to go to our memorial.
We had Carl Gonzalez, who is an excellent co-host, but he's not you.
Carl Gonzalez rocks.
Yep. And we have Mark Nadon here. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Mark has been here with us. This is your third show with us.
That's right.
Awesome.
I'm graduating.
What words of wisdom can you give us today?
Oh, I'm just happy to be here, and I'm glad that you have been instructing me. And
there you go. Well,
Lisa's a good teacher.
That's excellent.
Taught me how to do everything.
Is that right?
Yeah. She's a good teacher.
I'm very a good cool teacher.
She's one of the best.
Let's introduce the other folks that are here in the studio, shall we?
Yes, please introduce
a bunch of offstage and on the air veterans.
The veterans.
We have B. Iden Payne Award winner, Tony Knight. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Lisa.
And we have B. Iden Payne Award winner, Bo Paul.
Nominated. Thank you
you're a winner in my eyes. So, okay, I played the politics song. By the way, that was from Eleanor, the musical.
Is it about Eleanor Roosevelt?
It is indeed.
Interesting. She's an interesting woman, that Eleanor.
Yesterday was Election Day.
It was.
I will just say this real quickly, that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not that of co-op, its board of directors, or staff. It's simply our opinions here on the microphone. I was disappointed, but pleasantly surprised all at the same time.
It was surprisingly, in surprising ways.
It's not over. It's weeks away. Did we all vote?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I believe we have to locally go to the runoffs now.
We do.
So
although
we have some more voting.
Although they're
to do
still counting. Celia Israel could, like Skuncha, I think she only needs 0.2 to get above 50.
Yeah, I thought like in the last hour or so they said it's happening.
But everybody knows my opinion of the people that run the state, that all three of them got reelected by a hefty margin, which just makes me sad. People, start thinking like me.
Done.
Is that so hard? Anyway, the election season is really, really important to me.
I wish I had video on your face when you said that.
I'm passionate about it. I think it's something that we all need to do. And I remember my first election, which I actually did vote for the wrong person. But it was the election, after, Nixon, and it was Gerry Ford and, Carter. That was my first election. I was so excited to be 18 and to be able to vote. I was thrilled. And I have not missed an election since then. And I don't understand people that just go, I don't care. It doesn't really, my vote doesn't matter. It drives me crazy.
I don't get people do that to me when I talk about voting.
Yeah, I've had it a few times.
That's
and,
a bummer.
And you, of course, we hear it anecdotally quite a bit.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, well, that's that. And that is why I played that piece of music. Kim Simpson did another wonderful international folk bazaar. He was very, I'm glad he was finished.
With get the it? Finish?
Get it? Finished with the
that
finish.
Okay, never mind. I got it. I was
Thank
with you.
You.
I was playing with you there.
I know. I appreciate it.
My rim shot was a little late. I'm sorry, but I'll give you another one.
So yeah, love the International Folk Bazaar. And we had a couple of openings that happened. And one is Almost Famous.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Thank you. I had to run and get my computer, and so you had to. I was counting on you to say more than yeah. Anyway, the aggregator, did they like it? 7 thumbs down.
Yeah.
2 thumbs up and 5.
Wise.
Meh is like what I like to say. Not good all the way around. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking to it. You can get, there's a link to the Did They Like It site where you can see all the reviews. But Jesse Green of the New York Times did say, Almost Famous is neither glorious nor righteous. It barely even has a form. And they just, it said, despite the intelligence of the 2000 movie on which it is based, and the track record of its creators, the stage musical misses every opportunity to be sharp, smart entertainment it might have been.
Mm-hmm.
So this was written by Cameron Crowe,
uh-huh.
who it's semi-autobiographical. Mm-hmm. They brought all those, that band represented 5 bands he went around with.
Yes.
But he also brought in Tom Kitt as a co-lyricist. And composer, and it was directed by Jeremy Herron. I don't know. 30 numbers listed in the program.
Well, I mean, the soundtrack to the movie is one of the, is a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's just hard. I mean, you, how many different, do you really want to see different people singing Tiny Dancer? Because I don't.
Hold Me Closer.
And I watched a clip of it and I was like, yeah, no. And yeah. Maybe I'm even more jaded because I just saw Elton a week ago, but like, yeah, no.
She's on first name basis with Elton John.
Clearly. Right. I'm impressed.
I think that's pretty cool.
He doesn't know.
So a lot of people didn't like it, but somebody who did like it was Bidatri Chowdhury of Did They Like It? And she said, like a good old friend, Almost Famous takes you on a trip and brings you home safely. For 2 hours, I sat back humming along. The Daily Beast's Tim Tiemann said, drifts listlessly from scene to scene, free of any narrative momentum. And finally, Broadway News' Brittany Samuel said, unfortunately, when an original musical doesn't actually have anything original to say, every note falls flat. So,
yeah.
Wasn't very liked.
It was a strange one to take from a movie to stage, in my view.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is no hardcore conflict or stress. Like, all these things.
But
that
it's got a great character. Penny Lane is a great
Penny
character.
Penny Lane is a great character, but the story is not about Penny Lane.
Well, I'll tell you
so
what.
Then
they did ask me to play that role. And I
so
said no.
It's just interesting because it's like, what? All the elements that you need to for the arc through a musical or something on stage, it just isn't in the film.
Yep, I agree.
And the film's fantastic.
I'll have to rewatch. I only saw it once when it first came out, never saw it again. So, don't know. Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are the Jimmy Kim, the Jimmy Fallon was in the film before he was Big Jimmy Fallon, and Cameron Crowe asked him to come back in and play the same role he played in the film, on the stage version. So he is going to step in occasionally on nights and
oh,
do that.
Fun.
Oh, that'll be fun.
He's the manager, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Another thing that opened for just a week is the Parade, the production of Parade at City Center, conducted by Jason Robert Brown.
Yeah, I love
so
that
this
he's
is
out
the,
there conducting.
is it Leo Urey who wrote it?
That sounds right.
I want to say it's Leo Urey. No, because it's Leo.
Leo's
it's Leo
in
Frank.
The, yeah, in the place,
Alfred right. Urey. Sorry. Is the writer, and the music is by Jason Robert Brown. This is, I'm not sure whether it's fully produced or a staged, somewhat staged concert version, but it is certainly up there. Stars Ben Platt as Leo Frank.
Yes.
And I did see the duet between him and Michaela Diamond, which is just amazing.
I was about to say, it's spectacular.
Beautiful.
I know. I was like, oh, this is just stunning.
I think that role is perfect for him,
Perfect for him. I do agree on that.
It's amazing. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time here talking about it, but if you don't know the story of Parade and the true story of Leo Frank, you should look it up. And definitely listen to this music because it is gorgeous. I did not realize that it had... it was not critically, it had a lot of, they say the book has a lot of problems, and I don't know that I agree with that, but, but they,
yeah, I don't know about, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And they say a fully staged parade hasn't been seen in New York in 25 years.
Is it really been that long?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wowza.
Yeah. And, the New York, the Broadway version had Cara Lee Carmello and, forgot his name, Bart. Or was that the Donmar Warehouse version?
I don't remember.
I can't remember. But it's a beautiful piece. It's only playing a week. It closes on Sunday. And that's too bad, but it could always move.
I was like, something else may happen to it. It may have a new set of legs somewhere else.
Could always move. We just have a few more minutes. So I'm just going to zip through. I'm going to keep all of the links on our notes page at offstageonair.com so you can see the things that we would have talked about. I did want to just say that there is a Billy Porter Christmas ornament.
I saw that.
From Playbill.
I saw that. It made me giggle.
That just looks really good. There is a Flanders, Newfoundland is doing a production of Come From the Way. And this is a term I've not heard before, and I think it's great. It's a non-replica version of the show.
Oh, that's a great term.
Isn't it a great? I've never
start
heard.
Using
has anybody
it.
Heard that before?
No.
I presume it means it's not the
not
the Broadway
original.
Production.
Yeah.
Non-replica. Anyway, they're doing it in Flanders, Newfoundland, and I might just zip
head
over there.
Head up to Flanders.
There's a museum of Broadway that has never existed before.
Oh my gosh,
that
have you seen
up?
The backstage, the pictures of them when they were getting the last final touches up? Was so cool.
It looks good.
It looks awesome.
My only problem is it's got, there's a price tag to walk in.
There is.
And they don't, there's nothing explicitly saying that, you know, if you can't afford it, you can come in anyway.
Which is like the other museums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then just read the articles. Romeo and Juliet, they were doing, they announced a version
the
UK.
I don't, yeah.
Set in Nazi Germany with the families being, the boy, Romeo is a Hitler youth and Juliet is a Jew. Then
needless
they pulled
to
it.
To say it's not happening.
It's not happening. So, and then we had...
who was sitting around a table and was like, I have an idea.
Well, according...
I have a really good idea.
Yeah, you're going to want to say no, but...
Do not and then, want.
And then everybody at the table was like, that's a fabulous idea.
I will say this to their... not to their credit, but they... When it was announced, there was a very long explanation that the producers had done about why they were choosing to do it this way.
Well, someone probably was like, you're going to get asked why. So they were smart enough to have
but
the
they
statement
didn't, but
prepared,
it did not get released. Their press people took that out. And it was meant to be, obviously, a comment on the negativities of fascism. And the director is Jewish, and they did go to Jewish groups before they decided to do this to talk about the pros and cons. So I believe this is more of a marketing flaw than anything else, because if it had been marketed properly, it
might
not have taken
done
the,
well. Yeah,
it might not have taken.
Shame
the
Shame on those people not letting them release a statement. Why?
They didn't say why they didn't release the whole statement, so I don't know.
Always downplay Hitler Youth in your marketing.
Yeah,
it's just a tip.
It is a little. It's a little tip that. Folks,
I mean, at
you
least
know.
Release the why. They, you know.
Yeah. Okay, we have two losses. Douglas McGrath, who was a playwright, he died at age 64. He was in the process of doing a one-man off-Broadway show called Everything's Fine that was directed by John Lithgow, as a matter of fact. And he has done a lot of theater. He's mostly known for TV and film. But he passed away at the age of 64, which coincidentally is my same age. We were born in the same year. He was a writer on Saturday Night Live. He wrote Bullets Over Broadway with Woody Allen.
Oh.
He also did some acting stuff. He did a 2012 play called Checkers about Nixon's dog.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, I remember that.
That's and he funny. Wrote the book for Carole King's
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So he will be missed. And also Michael Butler, who was the producer of the original Hair, died at 95.
Mm-hmm.
And he was evidently of aristocratic means. And he like hung out with the Shah of Iran and the Maharaja of Jaipur.
Just had dinner with them last night. I mean, why is he special?
Well, Shah of Iran's persona non grata now.
Yeah, I'm being...
And he's dead.
Well,
Reza
obviously Pavlovich. That wasn't for real.
Anyway, I know. Anyway, he and James Ratto wrote Hair, which, by the way, here's a quiz for everybody. It lost. It was up for Best Musical in 1969. Guess what show it lost to? I'll give you a hint. It's on Broadway right now.
Chicago.
No, not Chicago.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
1776.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, it seems weird. Of the two musicals, and we talked about this before. I mean, 1776 is deeper and more meaningful than I really thought it was. But Hair's
pretty deep and meaningful.
Hair is very deep.
Yeah,
and meaningful.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
even a bad production, I can get worked up watching that.
Oh, I can't. But I think it needs to be a good production.
It does.
But
yes.
it is indeed a good show.
It's a
so let's take
show.
A little break. And we'll come back and talk to our lovely guests about their show at Water by the Spoonful at different from different stages at the Vortex. Let's listen to a little bit of Hair and maybe chant a little bit.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa, Nicole, and Mark.
Ta-da!
Hello.
We've been talking to Tony Knight and Bo Paul, who we are going to reintroduce even as we speak, because they are representing different stages in their show, Water by the Spoonful. Welcome, Tony Knight.
Thank you.
And welcome, Bo Paul.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello, hello.
So I believe this is a Pulitzer Prize winning play.
It is.
It is.
Tell us about it, somebody, one of you.
Well, I will say that the author, Chiara Alegria Hudis.
Thank you for saying that,
yes.
Because I wasn't going to even try.
Yes, it is an interesting pronunciation, but she's probably best known to people out there. She wrote the book for In the Heights. But this is a little bit more on her grittier side of things. And yes, it did indeed win the Pulitzer Prize. It is the second play in a trilogy that deals with one of the main characters, Elliot, who is in all three. This is more dealing with substance abuse is kind of the through line of this.
Right, but the whole trilogy is about soldiering and going to war.
It's, well, I wouldn't say that. I would put it more in terms of it is about
coming back
from war,
yes, exactly.
And experiencing trauma.
Yeah. And so that's amazing. So it won the Pulitzer in 2012. And the war that we're talking about is Afghanistan?
Yes. Iraq is actually where he was serving.
Okay. So that would be...
not in Afghanistan.
Right,
yes.
Iraq. And what are y'all playing?
My character is Odessa, who's Elliot's mother.
And are you playing Elliot?
I am not playing Elliot. I am not qualified to play Elliot.
Oh, okay.
Didn't
know what the qualifications were.
Well, by dint of the fact that I am Caucasian and Elliot
right. Okay.
is not.
Okay. There
and
you go.
I am playing an addict who is slowly coming to the realization that he is an addict and needs help. And he gets on a computer web forum to talk about this with other addicts. And that's kind of one of the main lines of the play is that there are a number of people who talk to each other via computer about their you know, addiction and their recovery.
Wow. Now, this never played on Broadway. It was off Broadway, if I'm correct.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing. So
I was about to say that's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting when you find a lot of these Pulitzer shows never actually make it to Broadway.
Yeah, that a lot of them, my head is like, because they're such wonderful pieces that audiences engage in so much. It's interesting.
I think there's an idea that the off-Broadway is more intimate, and this is certainly
the size
play,
and
that it doesn't lend itself to perhaps one of the bigger theaters.
Well,
you can find
I don't
the
know.
White Way.
Can always play the booth.
That's true.
Can always play the booth. And Tony Knight, this is your second Pulitzer Prize winning play.
I know. It's a
maybe it's you.
One to the other.
I'm just kind of trying out this brand.
So y'all are prepared to do a little scene, aren't you?
Yes.
Ooh.
So can you set the scene up for us? Somebody?
Yeah. My character runs the chat room for the Addicts in Recovery. And Beau's character, Fountainhead, has just agreed to meet with her. So they're meeting in a diner for the first time in real life.
Okay, and when does this take place? What time of what year?
2009.
Yes.
You know, with the way computers and chat rooms and everything, the precise
question,
year.
Good question, Lisa. You are correct on that.
It,
yep.
Yeah, because it's
so something that should be mentioned is that this is before things like Zoom, so that the people in the chat room are actually contacting via chat and message.
Right.
They aren't seeing each
other's
typing.
Pictures.
Exactly.
Yep. Awesome. Yep. Okay, so this is a...
that little instant messaging was very exciting when it first came out.
I remember that.
True that. Okay, so this is Tony Knight and Beau Paul doing a scene from Different Stages production of Water by the Spoonful.
You don't strike me as a computer nerd. I used to employ an entire floor of them.
You should have seen me at first pecking with two fingers. Now I'm like an octopus with 10 little tentacles. In my neck of the woods, staying clean is like trying to tap dance on a minefield. The website fills the hours. So how are we going to fill your hours, huh? When's the last time you picked up a javelin?
Senior year of high school?
There's a sober softball league, Fairmount Park, games on Sundays, sober bowling on Thursdays.
I lied in my first post. I've been smoking crack for 2 years. I've tried quitting hundreds of times. Day two? Please, I'm on the 700th day of hell.
You got it out of your system. Most people lie at one time or another on the site. Good news is, 2 years in, there's still time. Talbot Recovery Center in Atlanta. It's designed for professionals with addictions. Paradise Recovery in Hawaii. They actually check your income before admitting you. It's just for the wealthy. And this one, this place in Jersey is right over the bridge. It has an outpatient program for professionals like you.
I'm tenacious. I'm driven. I love my parents.
Pitchforks against tanks.
I relish in paying my taxes.
And you could be dead tomorrow. Is your dealer male or female?
I've had a few. I flushed their numbers down the toilet, like you suggested.
Your original connection. The one that got you hooked.
Female.
Did you have sex with her?
You don't beat around the bush, do you?
I'll take that as a yes. Do you prefer sex when you're high to sex when you're sober?
I've never really analyzed it.
Can be a dangerous cocktail. Some men get off on smoking and sex.
All men get off on sex.
Are you scared your wife will find out you're addicted to crack, or are you scared she'll find what came of your wedding vows?
I should go.
We just ordered.
I promised my son there's a science fair tomorrow. Something about dioramas and crazy glue.
Don't talk about them. Get sober for them.
Go to hell.
Leave me $3 for your coffee. You picked up the phone and called me.
I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before.
I have. And it usually doesn't end up so good. Maybe 1 in 20 hang around. Most people just don't write one day and then 30 days and then you're wondering. And then sometimes you find out because their wife looks at their computer, sees a website, logs on and writes, I found him, face down in the snow.
How many day ones did you have?
7 years worth.
Do you still crave?
On a good day, only every hour. Would you rather end up like me, or would you rather be honest with your wife? That wasn't rhetorical.
You're not exactly what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Truth. Now we're talking.
Oh, my. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Cool.
That is powerful. Good. Oh, I want to see it.
Yes.
So if I wanted to see it, when does it open?
Friday.
This Friday, the 11th.
Yes, the 11th.
And how long do y'all play?
Until December 3rd.
Till December 3rd.
Correct.
And this is a Different Stages show directed by Norman Blumensaat.
No, it is not. It is
never mind. It is directed by Brogan Lozano.
Correct.
That's right.
I knew that. I was testing you.
Although Norman did produce.
Norman is the producer. And it is being done at the Vortex. Well, where can folks go to get information?
You can go to Different Stages Theater, spell it the fancy way,
yep.
R-E, not E-R. So differentstagestheater.org/tickets.
Great.
And we will gladly take care of you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. That was Tony Knight and Beau Paul from Different Stages production of Water by the Spoonful, opening this Friday, November 11th. And plays through December 3rd. For more information, differentstagestheater.org. And this is a song called Go to War from the musical, it's actually a musical recording of Unbreakable by Andrew Lippa. It's really, really beautiful. Here we go.
Go to war, Mr. Someone, go to war.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole
and
Mark.
We have switched troops here.
We're like musical microphones today.
We are, and I'm going to introduce the folks from Austin Shakespeare, the incomparable co-host, Ms. Ann Ciccolella.
Thanks so much for having us.
Say it again because I didn't put the microphone on.
Thanks so much for having us to your lively spot.
We have a lively spot.
Da, da, da.
And we have a couple of actors from this show. Dane Parker, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And Karina Browning.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi, and of course, the show we're talking about is Sense and Sensibility.
It is.
Which I used to always say Sense and Sensibilities, but it's not plural.
No.
Is it?
You only have one.
Okay.
But you have a lot of senses.
I do. Well, so this is a adaptation.
It is.
Of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility.
It
and, of
is.
Course, you guys did a wonderful production of Pride and Prejudice.
Many moons ago.
So you like Jane Austen and you like things that have two articles connected by an ampersand.
With an ampersand in there.
So, Anne, tell us about Sense and Sensibility.
Well, it's Jane Austen's first novel that she started writing when she was like 19. She finishes in her early 30s. It was a big hit, but God forbid they should say her name or who she was. So
right.
There are two sisters, one of whom is a little wild and younger, and the other whom is a little older and a little more sensible. And Karina plays Eleanor, who's a little older and more sensible. But the younger sister falls in love with a crazy, wild and crazy guy, Mr. Willoughby, who Dane Parker is playing. So it's fun. We have 17 actors.
That's amazing.
Ooh, so it's a very lively backstage and, you know, wigs and costumes and craziness going on.
That's a lot of people. And are set in period, I'm assuming?
It is set in period.
Nice.
Which period?
Well, you know, that's the debate. It really, everyone wants to say Regency. And it's like, well, Regency is actually a little later, but we'll let it go. So let's say Regency.
Okay.
Let's just say Regency. It is.
What decade would we be saying when we're saying
so the
Regency?
Turn of the
I'm asking for a friend. I know.
The turn of the 1800s is so I say, oh, we can go up to 1810.
Yeah,
to be really wild.
1810, 1811, whatever it takes.
So it's those Ampere gowns. It's that look. It's the Jane Austen look that you're
who is doing costumes.
Used to. Oh, so this is Maddie Lamb, who's graduated
lovely.
Just a couple of years out of Texas State, and I'm sorry, Southwestern, and we're very proud to have her do them, and it's, you know, it's a huge project.
Yeah,
you
that
imagine.
Is a lot, and 17 people?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Period. That's a lot, period.
Period.
And yeah, you know, Ground Floor Theater lent us a lot of platform tops.
We
so
did.
We have
I actually
beautiful
helped carry
set.
Some of them.
Well, you're such a person.
I am such a person. That is my claim to fame. Karina, tell us about your character.
I'm playing Eleanor Dashwood. She's the 19-year-old.
The sensible one.
The sensible one.
You wear low heels.
Yes. Oh, very low heels. Yes. Only low heels for Eleanor. But no, she is... I think she's similar to me in the sense that she thinks she knows what's best for everyone at any given time, which I often do. And she takes care of her younger sister, who she feels like is very flighty. And she's also being dragged all over the countryside to these various social things. And she's not the most social person. Mm. So, but she's a ton of fun to play. She's super smart and she always means well. I feel like that's what I can say about Eleanor.
I'll tell you, back in those days, if you were a person of means and a person of the majority color, if you will, you had pretty good, life.
Yeah. Everybody else did. Unfortunately, it's one of those things where the father dies and all of his stuff has to go to the boy.
Of course.
Oh. So Jane Austen is playing that which she experienced. Went into poverty too. So these guys have that drop in money and status.
True. Dane, tell us about your character.
I'm playing John Willoughby. He is... He's a fun guy who's out there trying to find his place in the world. He's really caught up in the romance. It's a term people have used. He's trying to make sure everyone enjoys their time with him.
Oh my!
Okay, and now Eleanor's giving me those dagger eyes, which are so accustomed to me.
I made them typecast.
How fun has this been to work on?
So
far,
much fun. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's been a blast. It's one of those times where you get to keep working and digging at something and you reach where you think, okay, I think I get this. And then you realize, oh no, there's a whole nother layer to explore and to dive into. Yeah. And every rehearsal we find more and more. Mm-hmm. So.
And it helps that the cast is just really dynamic, really engaged. So every night you're finding something new because they're so invested energetically and emotionally in what's going on. It's been just awesome.
Yeah. And how many people in the cast?
17 folks. 17. And we haven't seen an audience yet.
Well, no, there'll be more than 17 in the audience, let's hope.
Well, we're very happy that we're kind of full this weekend, but we go through Thanksgiving weekend, so we're excited for people to come see it.
Great. Now, you are directing this piece.
I am directing it.
You are also the artistic director of Austen Shakespeare.
It is true.
Why this show? Why right now?
Well, you know, Lisa, as I've said to you before, I'm not one of those people that's like, it's Trump, let's do Julius Caesar. It's just not me. But in looking...
And you do love a Julius Caesar.
You will be speaking those words again in the not-too-distant future.
I have some ideas about Romeo and Juliet I want to talk about.
Would you? Great. it had been 10 years since we did Jane Austen. Coming back from COVID, I really wanted something that would be frothy. And I thought, okay, I think it's time.
That is great. I can't believe it's been 10 years since.
I know.
Pride and Prejudice. Seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
And Pride and Prejudice was at the Rollins.
Yeah.
And this one is also at the Rollins.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. What's the scenery like?
I asked for constructivist, which actually is a Russian style of the early 20th century.
Oh, I know that.
So it's very abstract. But it's one of those shows that, like, 5 minutes you're in one place, and the next 3 minutes you're in another place.
Yeah.
And the next two... So it changes. But we have Patrick Anthony doing lights, and he's just fabulous.
Of course.
And Yvonne Griffin did the set. So I'm really impressed with the work they did, so I hope you'll see it.
I'm hoping I will as well. So I don't want to put you on the spot. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. Is there any kind of scene going to happen?
Of course. Lisa.
Excellent. So set it up
and
let's
trimmed
do
it so that it would be nice and short.
Good, because we... We have overbooked ourselves and we don't have a whole bunch of time.
Well, you're so generous.
Can you set it up for us?
Sure. Well, we're kind of toward the end of the play. I don't want to say climax, but it's pretty climactic.
Okay.
So the younger sister is sick, maybe dying. Willoughby has come to redeem himself because he effed up. Eleanor is stopping him.
Okay, wonderful. So this is a Karina Browning and Dane Parker doing a scene from Austen Shakespeare's production of Sense and Sensibility.
I heard from the servants at Cum Magna.
I have no time for this.
I beg you for 10 minutes.
Mr. Willoughby, you can do no good here.
I want to explain, to apologize, to ask for Mary Ann's, to ask your sister's forgiveness.
If That is all. She has long since forgiven you, and we are done.
Then she has done so before she ought to have. I would have her forgiveness on more reasonable grounds. When I first met your sister, I admit to thinking of my own amusement. But against my will, I found myself sincerely and deeply in love with her. I swear, but for an unlucky circumstance, it was my full intention to ask her hand in marriage the afternoon I was forced to leave Devonshire.
A circumstance?
You have heard the story. Of course you have.
You seduced and abandoned an innocent child.
And we are done.
Yes, that
isn't
was
it fun
short.
When you get those, yeah, I was those like, words that are like, you know, was, those words.
I was waiting for
we
the
are
next
done.
Little piece. We are
we
done
it would
here,
be a
sir.
Cliffhanger. I was like, I that was a cliffhanger with the innocent child.
Yes.
I said good day, sir.
I said good day.
Well, that's amazing. So when does this show open? This
well, weekend? We have a preview on Friday. Nicole, okay. You're right. We open this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and then we're back the following weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And then there's Thanksgiving. So we are not performing on Thanksgiving Day, but the night before on Wednesday, the Friday, which we know is a theater day because everybody wants to get their family out of the house.
Yes.
And then that's Saturday and Sunday. So we close on the 27th. So we open November 11th through the 27th.
Great. And this was, as we said before, it's at the Rollins. And where can folks go to get more information?
I think the Log Center is a good, you know, if you just type in sense and sensibility, it'll come up. Or you can go to austinshakespeare.org. Thank you for asking, Lise.
Awesome. You're quite welcome.
Thank
and
you.
Anne, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hooray.
And the rest of you, whatever. No, I'm teasing. Thank you all for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
but
us.
But get your tickets in
Lisa,
advance.
You're saucy like today.
That was Anne Ciclella, Karina Browning, Dane Parker of Austin Shakespeare's Sense and Sensibility, playing November 11th through the 27th. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. And of course, this is a romantic show, is it not? And so let's listen to a little piece of music from Romance Romance called Romantic Notions.
Oh, look at you.
Whistling through the willow tree. Such are these romantic notions.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air.
We're here.
What a great thing.
It's been a very fun day.
It's been. So let's just talk a little
covering
bit about
shows
stuff.
From all shapes and sizes.
The interesting thing is there's not a lot of shows happening right now.
No, but there it's all coming
it's
up.
It's all coming this weekend.
This weekend it starts.
So it's amazing. So I'm just going to highlight, literally, I think everybody is off this weekend. Or I mean off...
Today.
Today.
And tomorrow.
Or yeah. So there's nothing actually happening right at this very moment.
But this weekend...
But all, this weekend, like everything, other than the shows that we're going to be talking about right now, we have American Sun at Concordia University that opens on the 10th and plays through the 13th. Antigone at McCallum High School. Wow.
Anne loves that Antigone.
Antigone. I just like saying Antigone.
Antigone.
Because I like to call it Antigone.
Oh, well, there you go.
Laura Haddock, who is here, she agrees. So Antigone is playing at the McCallum High School, also the 10th of this month through the 13th. And this is the sad part, and I will say this to y'all as well, about the academic productions, is they don't play long enough.
It's like three whole shows.
Three whole shows. Four, but yeah. So it's sad. And then in my now playing section, I got nothing.
Really?
Well, because...
Well, it all like, starts on
right,
Friday.
Right, it's all coming up. And most of the people coming up this weekend are on this show. So
they are. Everything that's cool is here today.
So we're just going to jump right into Today in Theater History.
Oh, tell me what happened today.
Well, tonight, I do like this, that in the Playbills vault, it starts previews tonight, but it's already in Today in Theater History.
Interesting.
Ain't No Mo is opening beginning previews tonight.
They must have a DeLorean and can get to the future.
They must.
And back.
In 2006, Les Miserables opened.
Les Miserables.
I thought it 2006, it seems like it's been around longer than that, but there you go.
It has. I saw the original production in London when I was in high school in the 80s. So, like, yes.
Was there a revival that just happened?
There's, like, many revivals.
No, on Broadway.
Yes.
Missed
it.
Colin Quinn, a long short story, opened in 2010. Enemies, which was playing at Lincoln Center in 1972. And the Scarlet, what's the next word? Pimpernel.
With Douglas Hodge. That was so good.
1997.
That was such a great production.
At the Minskoff Theater.
Yes, it was.
Also in 2017.
I just was talking about that the other day. So random.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's a random one.
Well, Scarlet Pimpernel's fun to say.
Yeah, Douglas Hodge. Oh, so good.
And then 2017, starring Katrina Link, who I'm got a whole big girl crush on.
The Band's
Visit. And Tony Shalhoub, The Band's Visit. And then birthdays, Ed Wynn, who was in 1776, the movie.
Interesting.
We're talking about 1776.
We were talking about that.
Edna Mae Oliver, Mr. and Mrs. Oliver's little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Cooney, interestingly enough, Mr. and Mrs. Cooney's child.
That's it? That's all you got for the birthdays?
That's all I got for the birthdays.
I was thinking about the Les Mis. Wasn't the 2006 when they pared it all down to the projections and stuff?
No,
wasn't
I thought that's right. Anyway, because Les Mis was playing when I lived in New York, which was in the 70s.
And wasn't Aaron Tveit in that one or something?
Tveit. You say tomato, tomato.
I love me some Aaron, but wasn't he in that?
I think.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I did not see it in 2006.
All right. Let's take a break, and we're going to come back and talk to the folks from St. Ed's.
Yes, we are.
And we are going to hear Ms. Katrina Link one of my favorite songs from this show. And it is the Welcome to Nowhere, which is, I believe, the second song in the show. Here
excellent.
It is.
Let me tell you about Petah Tikva.
We are back. Lucky you. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and
Nicole
and
Mark.
So, part three of our Guestapalooza.
We have a trilogy today.
We have a trilogy.
Just like our play started off in a trilogy.
The Trilogy of Terror. Do you remember that movie with Karen Valentine? Not Karen Valentine. Karen. Oh, God. What was her last name? Anyway, Trilogy of Terror.
No, I don't remember that.
Look it up. I'm sure it's on the YouTubes. It is so bad.
It's so
amazing.
Good. Yeah, I like those.
And it is amazing. And it's Karen. I want to say Karen Valentine, but you know, Karen Valentine, does everybody remember the series that she was in?
Nope.
It was Room 222.
Oh, I do remember that show. So then I guess I do. I just didn't put them together.
Well, let's introduce our next guest, shall we?
Yes, please do.
We have from St. Ed's in the Mary Moody Northern Theater, Jarrett Mallon. Hi, Jarrett.
Hello.
Welcome. This is your first time here in this role.
It is. I just started over at St. Ed's about a month ago.
Welcome. Hopefully
exciting.
We'll have just a little bit of time to talk about that.
Sure.
But I'm going to talk about the show first. We have the director, Laura Toner Haddock.
Hello.
And then we have Christina Holly.
Hi,
Christina. I'm going to ask you to get right up on that microphone. And then Mariah Fonseca.
Hi.
First of all, I have to apologize. We were not able to speak before the show. I'm my own engineer. So if there's anything I have to say, I just say it out over the air.
We show how the sausage is made.
So I just shame people openly. It doesn't matter who you are.
It's okay. Just what happens.
So Laura, you guys are doing and you are directing These Shining Lives, which... Oh my God, when I read about this, I'm so excited to see it and so saddened by the history.
So, yes, fair. These Shining Lives takes the real story of the Radium Dial Company in Ottawa, Illinois, that hired women in the 1920s to paint radium dials on watches, and I think we can all see where this is going. Radium, not really an ingredient we want to be around a lot. And they were also putting it in their mouths to create a finer point on their brushes. And so many of these women got very, very ill and died. And they took the company to court. And it took a long time, but eventually they won. And you would think that was the end of the Radium Dial Company, except they actually just closed that and opened another storefront, and it was the 1980s before this legacy finally ended.
That's bananas.
It is very bananas. But this play is such a beautiful story and really focuses on the life and the vibrancy of these women, makes them fully realized characters. So you get a greater sense of the tragedy of their loss, but also it's very engaging. There's a ton of humor in it.
Sure. When I read a little bit about the history, the company told them that there was no problem in using radium. There was no proof there. But then, of course, there was a lawsuit that eventually won. But it never really specified whether the company knew it was bad. Did the company? I kind of think the company probably knew.
100% is my opinion.
I would suspect that.
Approximately.
And there were actually, you know, nothing like this happens in a neat linear fashion. No. So there were other companies around the world in the U.S. There was a New Jersey one that actually took their case to court earlier than the Ottawa folks. And in an earlier version of the play, that storyline was incorporated a little bit. So yes, while radium was touted as being medicinal and put in a lot of products at the time, I think
by 1980 they figured
it out. By 1980 they had definitely figured it out, and certainly by the 1930s, which is this story.
Right. What I find interesting is that one of the things that sort of tilted their heads and saying something's not right is their hands started glowing.
Yes, and that's actually a little story beat in this play. Yes, their hands started glowing, and radium, fun fact, acts in your body the same way calcium does. So your bones just suck it in, and that's why it would destroy teeth and bones. It's
amazing.
Amazing stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it sounds fascinating. And so, Christina, tell us about your character.
Yes, so I play Charlotte Pacell. Obviously, she's a real woman, but she was one of
Charlotte is the protagonist. Is that the one that narrates? No.
No, it's
no. Mariah. Never mind. Keep going. don't listen to me. I only skimmed the notes. No,
you're good. That was like a choreographed number. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. And all these fingers pointing.
Oh, what show's that from? Okay, never mind. Don't say
funny.
It.
That was funny.
Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah. Charlotte Pacell is the friend to Catherine, and she meets her at work.
I knew it started with a C.
Yeah. So they meet each other at work. Charlotte actually kind of gives Catherine a hard time at the very beginning, but she softens up at the end, and they end up becoming really good friends. But yeah, Charlotte's the one who ends up actually losing her arm from all the radium poisoning. Ugh. But I learned this from Laura. She actually does get to live like a quite bit of her life. She just loses her arm, but she does get married in the end and, you know, has children of her own. So, yeah.
Do you have to chop off your arm for the show?
Spoilers, Lisa.
Oh, sorry, I really shouldn't have asked that.
You have to leave something for the audience.
anything,
Lisa.
For the show. Anything.
Sorry. You know, take a serious subject and just. Anyway, Mariah, tell us about your character.
Yeah, so I'm playing Catherine Donahue.
That's the narrator of the show,
yes,
isn't it?
The narrator, yes. And the mom and wife at such a young age grows into this like ambitious, really strong character, in my opinion. And yeah, she narrates everything that's going on around her. For the longest time, people just are not listening with what's going on with her. She is really like the character that's being loud about what's happening and noticing what's happening. So yeah, that's kind of her role.
That's amazing. How large is the cast?
There's seven actors in it. Six of them are students, and then Stephen Mercantile is the guest actor in the production.
Great. So the two of you are students at St. Ed's.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you okay if you share what year you're in at the? Mm-hmm.
We're seniors.
Yeah, we're both seniors.
Yay, seniors! I am as well. So there. I don't know.
You really are on fire today.
I am on fire. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but did y'all have a scene or anything?
We do.
Okay, great.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to ask this now, so that we made
it's
sure
like
we had
the trifecta
time for it
today.
I know. So yeah, with third set of guests, third scene.
Yes.
It's like a three-act play. Do you want to set this up for us?
Sure. This is a little over halfway through, and it's when the women are having to come to terms with what is actually happening with them.
Great. This is Christina Holly and Mariah Fonseca from Mary Moody Northern Theaters at St. Ed's production of These Shining Lives.
Well, knock me over with a feather.
I'm almost sorry we saw him. I feel like maybe if he didn't name it, it still wouldn't be real. You know? Maybe what he said... Maybe some other doctor would know what to do and wouldn't be so... Maybe Dr. Dolich is wrong, Charlotte. There's still a chance that...
Stop it, Katie. Jesus Christ, just shut up. You can't make it better, okay? So stop trying with your silly optimism. It's ridiculous. God, grow up. They did this to us. They did this and they knew it. They threw us away for a few watches. That's what we're worth. That's what you're worth. So spare me the maybe this and maybe that, okay? It does me no good.
We're on the same side, Charlotte.
I'm so sorry. I just don't have anyone else to. Who's going to take care of my mom, Katie? Who's going to take care of her?
Oh, gosh. That was no like, fair.
We can do an optimistic opening that's very short, too.
Well, that is powerful, and y'all were amazing.
Has all the emotions of scenes ready at hand.
Yes. That is amazing. So how has this been for, how's the process been for y'all?
I'll leave the room.
Yeah, you can tell the truth.
She
nobody
really
can,
can't hear you.
Nobody can hear.
There's a bubble. There's a wall.
No, Laura's great. She's being funny, but she's really great. Like, she's funny in rehearsal. She gives great feedback, and she pushes us to be the best we can be, and that's all you ever want from your director. So, grateful.
Yeah. I love hearing that.
The process at the beginning, and still kind of, like, we're just joking around, trying to make as much fun out of things as we can, because we know how serious it's going to get, especially when the scripts came out of hands. Like, you know, that's when you really got to sink into what's happening. So.
Right. And so this is at St. Ed's. I just love that theater.
I do, too.
And it is Theater in the Round, which is, so have y'all both been at St. Ed's for 4 years? So that's, no, sorry.
I transferred in, so I've only been there 3 years.
Oh, you don't count, so I'm not talking to you.
I don't count. No. Okay.
But it's interesting. I've said on this program that my very first 7 years in theater was all in the round. I never performed in a proscenium, I think, until I went to, it's going to sound weird, high school, but I started very young. But I think it's a great solid base for an actor, because playing theater in the round is difficult.
It is.
And then when you take those other three sides out of it, when you're on a proscenium, it just makes your life a little easier, but you have all those tools. Yeah. So mazel tov. I think that's great. And how has it been for you to direct this piece?
It's been wonderful. It's a beautiful play, and I have long just been in full of awe and admiration for the students at St. Edward's. Mm-hmm. So to get to actually work with them in that space with Bob Tolaro as our production stage manager, it's been such a gift.
Awesome. Well, wonderful. When does the show open?
It opens tomorrow, November 10th. We have a 2-week run.
You do have a 2-week run, which is great.
Oh, that is excellent.
So you close on
the 20th.
The 20th.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
And Jarrett, I've got like 30 seconds, but I want to congratulate you on your new position.
Thank you.
Of course, we all know you as the artistic director over at TexArts.
Yes, I was there 11 years.
11 years. Yes. Amazing. And did a lot of really good work, both on stage and off. And you've got a slightly different role that you're playing right now.
I do. I'm the managing director of MMNT, so more on the business side of the theater. Will kind of be the scope of work that I'll be doing over there.
Awesome. Welcome. Well, I actually have thought of maybe having you and some of your counterparts from some of the other theaters, the academic theaters, come on and just have like a little round table.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome sauce.
I would love that. And I do love, I never call like the theater MMMMMNT, but it seems like a lot of fun to say.
And also, MMNT has a new artistic director this year, Anna
Vargas. Right, Anna Vargas.
We've talked about that.
So, who went immediately on maternity leave?
We did. I think we crossed over one day and she left. So we haven't really worked together yet.
That's good. That's very exciting.
2023.
Very exciting for the organization. Unfortunately, I have to say goodbye to you. Thank you all for coming on the show.
Thank you all for coming on.
That was Jarrett Mallon, Laura Toner Haddock, Christina Holly, and Mariah Fonseca of MMMMNT. Mary Moody Northern Theater at St. Ed's. These Shining Lives playing November 10th through 20th. For more information, I find it easier just to sort of Google St. Ed's Theater. I didn't actually write it down. Let's go listen to Groundhog Day, If I Had My Time Again.
Okay.
It's all about time.
Got it.
Get it? Get it?
I do.
This one was a hard one to find.
If I had my time again, I would do it.
We are back. You're still listening to Offstage and On the Air. What a lovely conversation. I'm going to let this music
really
play underneath us.
Excellent show today, and quite a different smorgasbord of good stuff.
Yep. So we have to say goodbye. Mark, thank you.
Thank you.
Once again.
It's been a privilege.
We are going to give up the microphone to John Hoffner and Austin Common Radio Hour. What do you got going, John? I see actual people here.
Yeah, bring Amy in. Amy is the co-host.
Amy Stansbury.
Amy.
Yeah, wonderful.
We're doing election recap.
You need to be on a microphone if you're going to actually talk.
Election recap.
Oh, was there an election? We didn't notice. Well, folks, thanks again for listening to the show. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye-bye.
Thank you.